Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert. Follow The Sun Vanished on Twitter. You'll thank me later. And with me, I have...
Dupe.
And...
Here's a free chicken tennis, you motherfuckers!
Oh man, I'm telling you, Applebee's is gonna turn into that one Community episode. Just you watch. But, like, why Applebee's? Like, if it were any other restaurant, I would have no hesitation, but it has to be a restaurant I don't even like. Who even does like Applebee's? Apart from Tyler.
Where I'm from, we got Bojangles. I don't know,
what's gonna win again?
What's a Bojangles?
Exactly, you wouldn't know.
I heard of it, but never went there before. I should probably go there before. Go there to see what
it's a Carolinas like. Thing, really.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, awesome here. Yeah, we got me here too.
Well, good for all y'all. Meanwhile, we got to deal with Pollo Tropical acting like they're going to change the game by introducing crispy chicken sandwiches on their menu. Like, that's a bold, revolutionary concept. You know, like, no one else has ever figured that shit out before, even though I'm pretty sure I had one up in Fort Lauderdale that was smothered in, you know, that good old buffalo sauce. But that's for later on. So, anyway, yeah. Episode 89. Sorry about last week. Things got kind of hectic schedule-wise. Plus, there just wasn't a lot of material for a mainline episode.
Also, you were tired. And there's no way in hell I was covering Azalea Banks' song.
Don't worry. We didn't, as far as we know. As far as I know. Who knows? Maybe I don't even remember what we're covering this week. But anyway, episode 89. How are all y'all doing?
Can't complain too much. It's been kind of dead nothing week on my end, where I've just been busy trying to get everything in order, from work to site work to making sure my unruly cats are separated. If you ever watched that Animal Planet show about My Cat from Hell? Yeah, I kind of have that situation at my house right now, and it's not been fun.
What the hell is Animal Planet?
You know, it's that channel that you see on cable where they just air cat videos all day. Or actually, no, that's Game Show Network for some reason.
Isn't that what we have YouTube for? Why do we have that on TV?
I don't know, the puppy bowl or some shit?
Yeah. You want uselessness? Complex has a block on Fuse where they just air their YouTube videos, such as Hot Ones with Sean Evans.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it before. I was like, okay.
What's the point of watching it on TV with commercials and editing
and
leaps?
Yeah, it's like, I could see this shit for free on YouTube without ads or bleeps. And, you know,
but you sure? Because I'm pretty sure I get hit with ads sometimes when watching Hot Ones episodes. Especially those new annoying ones where it says, like, after 5 seconds, it says skip to end instead of just skip. And then it just skips you to, like, the last 5 seconds of the ad anyway. And you get these on, like, 15-second ads, so you pretty much watch, like, 10 seconds of advertisement. So it's like, what's the fucking point?
Well, I wouldn't know because I pay for YouTube for peace of mind and peace of mind alone, because you have no idea how much I hated that freaking annoying-ass YouTube music commercial with that one Puerto Rican rapper.
You know, you say that, but I'm not interested in validating YouTube's bullshit with money, especially if it's, I don't know, 0.3% of my money.
Well, you know, we don't feel that way toward anyone, but that's the society we live in. Until somebody comes in and changes things up, we just gotta make do with what we have.
I guess. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
He's been dead here as usual, too. It's like, it's usual work, taking care of the cats, and now featuring paying the internet bill, that reminds me, I need to make sure I save almost $80 every month to pay it, or hopefully not as. I'm trying not to go broke, people. That's what. I'm just living my fucking life.
Yeah. Yeah. Been paying for my own internet and cable for, how long has it been now? A year? 2 years? Something like that? Yeah.
Boo hoo. But no, I'm pretty sure it's a difficult situation there. Anyway, as for me, I had a bit of a busy week, not just because I had to scramble to get the album roundup out in time, but because it was also rubbing up against my visit to this year's edition of Florida SuperCon, one of those rare years when I actually had money saved up to scour the vendors for any kinds of weird, random shit. And believe me, there was lots of it in the actual vendors area, including this stand that popped up in a couple spots on the show floor called Wild Bill's Soda, where, you know, you could pay them, like, for this steel mug, and you got, like, unlimited refills of all these very old-timey named and flavored sodas that were actually really fucking delicious.
Wait. Are you telling me you had unlimited access to the fountain?
Yes.
Really? Nothing, Billy and Mandy?
It's been a while since I've seen that show, so if this is a deep cut reference, I'm drawing a blank.
As a Norseman of Asgard, you have unlimited access to the fountain.
Cool! It's root beer!
Whatever, I'm sure you'll send me in the chat anyway later. But yeah, that definitely provided a lot of refreshments, as there was lots of stuff to see. And I'm sure all of you who follow the Surreal Resolution Twitter saw that very special treat for the podcast ONA crew.
Yes, and I thank you for that.
Best $50 spent at the convention. Aside from the $50 that I put down for a copy of Eternal Darkness, sans the manual, even though I'm pretty sure at another one of the game vendors I saw a copy of it that had the manual, that was about the same price. Fucking impulsive spender I am. Not to mention spending $100 on a rare PS1 copy of Clock Tower. Woo! You know, gotta get the Sysamane. Sysamane needs his cash. Motherfucking mixtape cut if you book. and then I think there was some other old game stuff too. And of course, seeing all the cosplays, including all the Pop Team Epics, the Overwatches. I'm pretty sure I saw someone dressed as a floating shopping list. Or was it a ghost? I'm not sure.
Milk, eggs, butter. Damn.
Wait, I thought it was cheese. Milk, eggs, and cheese. I'm gonna have to Google image search that later.
It might be cheese. It's been a long time since I've seen an episode.
And so, yeah, you know, just a lot of fun was had. You know, just being immersed in my aesthetic as consolation for the fact that all the actually cool stuff happened at Anime Expo the weekend before. Maybe next year. Maybe. We'll see how my savings are doing. Mark my words. Was there anything else? Also, parking is a bitch up there, man. Like, not even getting into the traffic situation, which fucking Saturday, like, okay, it took me like 45 minutes to technically drive up there, but I was stuck in, like, the lines to actually get into a parking garage for, like, a friggin' hour after that. God damn. Fucking convention traffic is a bitch and a half. Also, I'm pretty sure I ate a lot of wings that weekend, because there just happened to be, like, a cheap sports bar in the area where I could just, like, you know, eat wings, and they were good wings. But I'm just rambling at that point, so yeah, Florida SuperCon, always gonna have a fun time there, and, shit, I don't have a segue here. Okay, enough of the bullshit. Let's actually get on to what you've probably been waiting for at this point, the, new song discussions for this past 2 weeks, technically. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and, you know, have opinions on these songs and have opinions on our opinions. And of course, we will let Mark open up here because, of course, it's his boy, Denzel Curry.
Oh, yes. Yes. Ever since 2016, we heard from this boot just been blowing out. And now, he might have a new album coming out maybe this month, maybe at the end of this month, called Taboo or Tie 13. Ooh, yes. That's 13 in the word, but fuck, I let it slide or whatever.
Spooky.
Oh, it's very damn spooky because he got a new single out called Clout Cobain. Yes, yes, if you wonder what the fuck that means, I mean, you find out anyway. This is a very haunting bassy joint, which got a lot of you know, a lot of bass and trap instruments. The whole thing with the song is the visual says, like, you know, how artists today, you know, try to stay popular, try to get their clout, trying to make sure, you know, somebody, they have been popping through anything, even leads them to, you know, being, you know, depressed, dark, and kind of, well, suicidal, hence the Cobain part.
And if you need the metaphor driven further, the music video is quite literally him as the center of a freak show attraction.
Yep. Everywhere, bottom clowns and very, bottom clowns and circus makeup. And holy fuck, you fuck your scared of clowns now? Well, you be more fucked up than usual. But Dennis Curry definitely live on this joint. Gets these lyrics, he says, I just want to feel myself. You want me to kill myself? Man, I've been my own lord. I'm going to need some help. I just want to feel myself. You want me to kill myself? Man, it's been so damn long dealing with the things I left. Suicidal thoughts, color Kurt Cobain. Suicide, letter seats like a bloody stain. I need hella bass. I need hella pain. You going to want to cry? I'm going to make it rain.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yep.
And as for the actual album release, I'm not entirely sure. It technically says July 27th. But the article reciting says that he's sort of releasing it in pieces, like in stages, I guess. Whatever that actually means. Or
In three separate acts. Okay, I didn't hear that. Okay, I didn't see that part, but okay. Well, hopefully it's interesting.
Yeah, so I guess we'll have to see how that works at the end of the month. But, I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to our next song here. So apparently, Mr. Justin Timberlake, I know. He dropped a new one-off jam called Soulmate for some reason. I mean, I don't think he's got anything else to promote, so he's got to fill his time since he's twiddling his thumbs. And, you know, we're not going to see another new album from him for 5 years, six, five, whichever sounds better. And, you know, for this one, I'll say it's more musically coherent than anything off Man in the Woods, I guess. Like, it's not like this awkward, ham-fisted mashup of, like, pseudo-folk country singer-songwriter stuff and, you know, electronics and trap and stuff. Not to mention there's no weird metaphors about, like, you know, survival bunkers or anything. And I guess it technically works okay as a summer jam, but at the same time, it just kind of feels like the kind of sterilized shit you hear on, like, the Lido deck of a cruise ship.
I got nothing because I did not bother listening to this. That's all I got to say. Go ahead.
This sounds like a Drake ripoff. Oh, wait. And I know why it says, what's my name, 1985, who usually produces for Drake and Nicki Minaj. Which, yeah, this sounds like something.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, it sounds like something that Drake would have done, but rejected and give it to JT just for kicks. I got none. This is sort of blah.
I was wondering why this sounded like a rejected take from More Life. Now I have my answer. But anyway, let's move on to stuff that's more aggressive and gnarly, starting off with Ken Mode, of course, their newest offering from their August 31st album, Loved, titled Feathers and Lips. And this one is more of a sort of slow and steady, straightforward, you know, kind of aggressive, like, rock jam. You know, granted, it opens with, like, droning, kind of rambly warm-up and that gravelly-voiced rambling about, like, you know, how people who always, like, aggressively posture the most are always the biggest cowards if you were to ever, like, confront them in, like, a straight-up fight or anything. But the song itself definitely has some fight to it, especially once it gets more towards the back half where things get more rhythmically off-kilter and those guitar parts, you know, throw in some more of, like, those, like, I guess you call them, like, sweep harmonics or whatever. It just gets all, like, swirly and distorted and chaotic and insane. It's good noise rock. Listen to it. It's good.
It's a very good, heavy thrasher that'll make you bang your head and want to, you know, punch a Nazi in the face. But then again, for me, that's just Tuesday.
Hey!
Topical humor.
Remember, Fuck the Nazis is a family creed.
Yes. And it's the motto of Bethesda Softworks.
And now, let's move on from that to just some straight up, what's the technical term here? Gore grind, I believe it is. Because according to my watch, it's aborted o'clock.
Oh.
Yes, it's just about time for these extremely heavy, aggressive, psychotic as hell metalers to release their newest album, coming out September 21st, titled after the cult horror classic Terror Vision. And for those of you listening to this who are about to Google image search that, don't. Especially not if you've eaten recently. Let the food settle for an hour before you decide to do the Google image search. Trust me, I'm doing you a favor here.
Oof. Yeah, I can co-sign on that. Great, great instrument to work on here, but I am not digging that inhale vocal technique one bit. It just sounds too airy and kind of nasally. It's just, never been my favorite vocal technique, really.
Yeah, the song, which for the record I forgot to mention, is called Squalor Opera. It certainly doesn't waste any time just grinding at your senses, with a lot of emphasis on, like, the suffocating effect of the guitar melodies mixed in with the general sort of somewhat high-pitched chord progression playing against, like, the super thick, heavy, like, fast-paced riffs and shit, just grinding away as the blast beats pound fucking hard, and of course, yes, there is, like, that vocal style where, you know, he tends to sometimes go back and forth between, like, more almost kind of, like, aggressive spoken word and more, like, the deep inhale kind of thing. But I'll give it points, especially because there is, like, that bridge where it's just, like, the drum and the guitar is just kind of leaving some breathing room for when the rest of the band just kicks back in and those, like, vocal screeches just, like, fucking create, like, this wall. It's just, like, a brick wall. It's That is how you fucking do, like, some breaking down, my friends.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you on that. And some fine work on the bylighting in that video, too.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, that was some bizarrely neon-fueled lighting for a band of this ilk. Unless there's something they're not telling us.
Hey, maybe they're just, you know, about to set their toe into synthwave, which is the music of my people. Thank you very much.
Yes, yes, and it would be appropriate with the fact that their album title is referencing an 80s movie. So, anyway, let's move on from that to a name which I may have mentioned once or twice in the episode, but this is the first time we're actually talking about a song of theirs proper. That's right, one of the big up-and-coming darlings in the experimental rap scene, JPEG Mafia. No spaces, all caps. So it appears Mr. Mafia is going on tour, you know, pretty soon, like fairly. It's going to start up, I think, in the next month. Yeah, August, I think. And to celebrate, he's dropped a new track called Millennium Freestyle. It's, okay, so the beat here is pretty, like, hazy, filled with touches of static here and there. Although it's more tuneful than the more just aggressive noise barrages of, you know, his other releases, at least relatively speaking. And the vocals kind of go back and forth between, like, this sort of sensual R&B style and this more kind of spoopy, almost mushmouth sort of flow. And, you know, it's a freestyle. It's just kind of stream of conscience and whatnot. And then it gets to a part where it uses the hook from NSYNC's I Want It That Way.
Backstreet Boys.
What the fuck is a Backstreet Boys?
Okay.
What the fuck did NSYNC do?
They did everything else. I can't get into it right now, but there is a difference.
If you say so, pal, I don't really give a shit about either.
Okay, listen to this song. Like, I was called Millennium Freestyle, and since I heard Backstreet Boys, I was like, okay, it does feature that hook from that song. Although I will say I'm also getting a vibe of that one song called My Boo, which unfortunately was part of that Running Man challenge, which I hope no one remembers.
Oh.
I like the song, just not the, I like the song.
Is that Vine shit? It sounds like Vine shit.
Unfortunately, it is. I like that song. Just. This now is not so she went well that shit. But there's something better than... Okay, we'll see. I did the freestyle. It also there's something different I heard from JPEG Mafia. Considering the only thing like I listened to a song on the album. Okay, most of this is a song where they reference My C-Town. You know the one.
We do know the one. I gotta go back and re-listen to that album, just to make sure I can finally get it on this go-around. But anyway, let's move off from freestyles to more metal. Courtesy of the band Revocation, who I'm sure the last time y'all thought about them was last year when they were featured on the soundtrack to the mega blockbuster action film Power Rangers.
Wait,
they were? Yes, that's actually a thing that happened. Oh, yes. And I know, because I took the bullet for that.
Okay, I know that shit.
The Krispy Kreme scene is all coming back to me now. But we're actually here to talk about some Revocation. Because we already got the release date now for their newest album, The Outer Ones, coming out September 28th. And of course, we have the first proper song here, Of Unworldly Origin. And yep, it sure does sound like a pretty jamming-ass Revocation song. Goes hard on those blast beats and those very tremolo heavy riffs in the intro and beyond. Plenty of thrashing riffs and, you know, technique all around, all that shit. You know, kind of sounding like a better version of the Faceless. You know, this is what, like, the Faceless would sound like if they had their shit together. And, you know, maybe did away with some of the mediocre prog stuff they sometimes try to throw in there. And then, of course, there's that sweet breakdown getting into, like, the triplet groove in there. And, you know, just as a whole, the song is some pretty gnarly technical thrash, death, whatever you want to call it. And the music video lets us know their opinions on pirates. In case you need to know what that is, for some reason.
I'm of two thoughts with this track. I'm not too into the whole trem-pick, heavy black metal sounding stuff from the start. But going into the guitar solo, it dives deep into thrash territory, and I like that a lot.
So about half and half. Maybe if we get other singles, they'll bring you over to the side. But now, let's just move on to something that just makes me sad. And not the good kind of sad. So, remember last year when we got that debut album from Prophets of Rage? And I said it sucked.
Oh yeah, you told me that was the one that features Chuck D and B of Cypress Hill, which okay.
Yes, those two. And apparently they're working on another new album that may be out sometime this year. I hope something happens to delay it. Because we got the lead song from that album, Heart of Fire, and oh my god, this is so fucking lame. Like, let's just start off with the fact that I'm pretty sure they're using a theremin in this song. Which, that would be corny enough, but with the cheesy-ass, like, clean but grungy guitar riff, the wobbly, like, warbled synths in there, the vocal delivery, which is honestly weak as fuck, and the song structure, which is just so monotonous and repetitious, this whole thing is like, you know, I can't tell if it's any better or worse than anything I heard off that Ministry album. Because technically, at least that album had one or two songs that were okay. And, you know, while this one might be shorter, it's just so much cheesier. Especially when the vocals keep repeating at the end, it got feeling, it got groove. Bitch, no the fuck you don't!
I'm not sure if that's a theremin or not. It could just be Tom Morello doing his guitar trickery, which, if anything, I'm always a fan of Tom Morello's crazy guitar tricks, but as for the rest of the song, yeah, there's not a whole lot to it. And, you know, we had a new album from Body Count last year, and we're probably going to get a new one next year, so this just feels unnecessary, honestly.
Yeah, Ice-T is doing y'all's jobs better than you. Maybe you should consider, I don't know, patching up your bullshit with Zach.
Oh, when is that solo album coming out, LP? We haven't heard about that in, like, what, 2 years?
Maybe we'll get it after RTJ 4.
Yeah, we're still waiting on that.
You come to think of it, the last time we heard was the Demogorgon song was... It was, in fact, 2 years. But we started this shit.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to find out what episode that is. I'll search during the break, trust me. Anyway, let's move on from that to another new track from Brockhampton. Still don't have a release date on The Best Years of Our Lives, but we do have a new song and video titled 1999 Wildfire, which I guess 1999 must be one of those best years, I suppose. You know, because I guess they were able to party, you know, the way Prince intended.
Well, I mean, we also had Woodstock 99.
But anyway, okay, so the first song we got, which was from that Jimmy Fallon performance, was one of those more dramatic, you know, like sort of pop ballad sort of things. And this one is more on the end of like smooth R&B, you know, Brockhampton tunes. The chorus is performed by, let me see the credits here, because I think it said Jazzy Fa on Genius, of course, with some accompaniment from Kevin Abstract. And it's all these, like, there's this delicate acoustic guitar, these mild synths, and what I'm pretty sure is like a flute in there, just all swirling together. It's all very pretty and nice. And then, of course, going through the various MCs in there, this one's mainly... Okay, your first verse is Matt Champion, who gets in, you know, a lot of, you know, sort of seductive sounding bars about his, some chick he's got a crush on or a significant other, maybe, you know, love when you're double bunned up like Leia, and my favorite song on the line, make me sweat like exercise, double up milkshake and fries. Which, you know, I kind of want some milkshake and fries now. Maybe a chocolate milkshake. And then, of course, the next verse from Joba, who, you know, does more of just a straight-up rap thing instead of any kind of, like, I guess, melodious thing. And his verse is, like, dorky as shit because there's a lot of medieval fantasy imagery in there. Like, I'm pretty sure half of it's, like, Lord of the Rings. There's a lot of talk of, like, villages, wizards, paying people in shillings, buying a castle with a moat in the Shire, all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, Bareface's part where he gets the most, like... sing-songy part of the song, the one that's the most R&B, you know, bringing everything just kind of together, uniting the style and everything. And, you know, as one of the more R&B style Brockhampton songs, it's a pretty good jam, although admittedly I'm waiting for one that's just like a straight rap banger still, but, you know, I'm sure we'll get it soon.
We'll say this song's kind of nice. And the person you're trying to pronounce right? It's pronounced Jazzy Faye, who's and he's was a well known producer back in the mid 2000s, where his songs be everywhere, especially in the South. But yeah, faded ways. The songs like, I think they are still in that more sort of R&B, central R&B. Talking about the going from now, it's like the last song. Almost like the last song, except that one's more valid. This is more, you know, straight up R&B jam. While I still need to look back at their other albums, this one I'll possibly check out in the future if I'm not too lazy.
Well, you know, I mean, if I can do it, so can you. But anyway, let's move on from that to more seductive, seasonally appropriate jams, because as we all know, it's summertime, loving in the summertime.
Summertime, and I just can't wait. Gonna call you on the phone, gonna take you on a date. It's summertime, and I hope you like steak. Gonna take you to a restaurant and eat it at the lake. It's summertime, and loving in the summertime.
It's the summertime,
loving.
Don't look behind you, Mark.
I'd rather not. But I know, right, but...
Good. Anyway, so, yes, it appears that after setting the world on fire 2 months ago with This Is America, Mr. Childish Gambino has returned with two summer-themed jams that, at least from what I can tell, may be on his new album. That's what the wording I'm getting from, you know, the articles I'm pulling here and everything. So, yeah, so summertime songs, they're called Summertime Magic and Feels Like Summer. Not to be confused with that friggin' Weezer song that sounds like 21 Pilots.
Okay, wait,
Good. Mark doesn't remember that one. Don't remind him. But anyway, Summertime Magic. Yeah, this one feels like some, you know, sort of fusion-y, sort of Jamaican R&B dancehall type stuff. The synths are very minimal, but they're, you know, give a nice breezy vibe to everything. And also, Gambino's vocals are just, like, you know, delicately performed and just overall chill AF. You know, if you're just, like, you know, sitting there in the freaking, you know, beach chair while some asshole is trying to slip Coronas and Bud Lights into your booze supply. Like, no. Get that away from me. And then, of course, Feels Like Summer, which is a song that's... It's got more of this consistently strumming acoustic guitar rhythm and is very much driven more by multiple, like, layers of vocals that all carry different parts of the melody and, again, are all very breezy sounding in the way they're produced and constructed. It's certainly very summer appropriate, I suppose. And, you know, better summer jams than something like, say, anything Drake would put out if he's trying to go for dancehall.
So, yeah, there's some damn good summertime music. And can't repeat the lines with, do love me. I can't do the chorus. Yeah, you know, yeah, he does it better, but this is some like you said, songs for the summer that sounds like you want to be there, and sounds like you want to relax, hoping not burn, because the weather's a bitch.
Well, see, the key there is to just, you know, be able to tan properly, which I still haven't figured out yet myself. At best, I have a farmer's tan, but I don't even farm. Unless we're talking about resources in video games. But yes, these are the perfect type of songs to relax to, but we're not about to close this out by relaxing. Quite the opposite, in fact. And it kind of makes me glad that I had waited for something like this to pop up. So, for our last song this week, you know, the last album roundup, I mentioned that there were two Metal Album of the Year contenders in the same month with YOB and Zeeland Ardor. But now we get to what is probably my second most anticipated album of the year, apart from The Armed. Pig Destroyer. Finally. 6 years after Book Burner and 5 years after The Octagonal Stairway, these grindy lads are set to release their newest studio album, Head Cage, on September 7th. And we finally got the first single from the album, Army of Cops. And, you know, quite a bit has happened to Pig Destroyer in 6 years. You know, they finally got a bass player. And that certainly impacts the sound here. Because, first off, this is definitely a less grind-oriented sort of Pig Destroyer jam. Not sure if the whole album will be like this, but this one has more of an emphasis on, like, you know, sort of aggressive, just hard-hitting grooves and everything, and that bass adds just, like, a whole nother, like, dimension to just filling out the low end of everything. The vocals are, of course, every bit as, like, shouty and gnarly as they've, like, ever been, and, you know, especially when you get into the guest vocals from Richard Johnson of Agoraphobic Nosebleed, aka the Grindfather. And man, when it gets to, like, that breakdown, like, in the back half, just, you know, ushering it in with, like, that aggressive pounding tom beat, those squealing sort of static electronic samples, that pummeling, chugging riff, it hits every bit as hard as any Pig Destroyer material in the past. And that's even before you get into the lyrical content here, which is pretty straightforward in comparison to past albums. This one, of course, as the name would imply, being about how cops are bastards. I mean, remember, their band name is slang for cop killer. Just saying. And, you know, you really get it in those lyrics, like, it's pretty straightforward. Like, why would God create something so weak unless he wanted us to suffer? And, of course, nobody likes our direction, yet we don't turn around. Could it be that secretly we like being kept down? Obviously, these guys do not care much for cops or any sort of Blue Lives Matter bullshit that enforces their bullshit. Good on you, Pig Destroyer. You understand where the bullshit is, and you know how to deliver a song that bangs harder than a Ministry of Prophets of Rage.
Well, Pig Destroyer. That is a name I have not heard in a long time. Quite literally, too, because I'm honestly a bit unfamiliar with these guys, so I'm going to have to do a deep dive with them sometime soon. But as for this track, this does bang pretty dang hard. I'm liking what I'm seeing and hearing of these guys. But knowing that they are more of a grindcore kind of band, I would imagine a song like this would probably be the outlier and not the norm of the album, but we shall see come September 7th.
Well, I mean, these are guys that have been known on times to do, like, stylistic switch-ups here and there. I mean, remember, I think in 2008, they once released, like, a Sludge Doom EP that was just one song that was 37 minutes long.
Interesting.
Okay.
Like I said, these guys like to play around a bit. And if the name sounds familiar at all, any of y'all ever watch Workaholics?
A little bit.
They once, I think it was the finale of season 3, they featured their song The Diplomat from Bookburner, in a scene where, you know, the guys are all stomping and killing a bunch of rats. So, you know, I'm sure if you Google, like, you search YouTube for that, you'll find it pretty immediately.
Hmm.
You know, obviously whoever works on that show knows their shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that basically does it for the New Sun discussion, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we have some news topics to discuss here, so stay tuned for that. And we're back. We got quite a bit of news to talk about here, so first off, let's start off with Mr. Steve Aoki, who, as we all know, is a DJ who, when he's not ruining Ghost in the Shell tracks, apparently has a love of food because he likes to launch cakes in crowds of concerts, which I thought was just something they made up for a Robot Chicken sketch. I didn't know he actually did that shit. Well, you learn something new every day. There are plenty of things I learned today, in fact, because apparently Aoki is getting back into the food game again, this time with a pizza delivery venture. It's titled, of course, Pizza Aoki. Well, technically it's Pizza Aoki, but I'm guessing it's pronounced Pizza Aoki. Pizza Aoki? Pizza Aoki? There's that awkward middle part you're trying to get through. But yes, he's launching a pizza delivery service, it's going to start with 5 kitchens servicing 16 locations in the Los Angeles area, the kind of shit you can only order through, like, Uber Eats and Postmates. Of course, all the recipes will be named after his songs, such as Just Hold On, a cheese pizza with a Mama Aoki sauce, Mayhem, cheese, pepperoni, sausage, meatballs, mushrooms. It's basically a supreme pizza. And
yes, Dimmack. That sounds good, though. Okay, Dimmack? Okay.
He's naming pizzas after you, man.
Okay.
Ground sausage and homemade meatballs. So, you know, sounds very fancy and Italian.
That sounds good, though. Should I try that?
But is that the meat lover's pizza? Because, you know, I always go for the meat lover's pizza. I'm sure Alex does as well.
Mm-hmm. This has me curious. Is this better than the crown jewel of pizza of Costco pizza?
Oh, dude, that's your gold standard for pizza?
Wait, well, Costco not the gold standard. Costco does pizza?
Wait. Oh, they do great pizza and hot dogs.
Wait, I thought they got rid of the hot dogs. Or is that Sam's?
I don't think they ever got rid of the hot dogs.
Oh, right, it was the Polish dog. I think. Yeah. I don't care. I'm a BJ's guy myself. And that's just because it's fun to say. Yeah, I just gotta say this up front. How the hell did I not know that Steve Aoki's dad was the founder of Benihana? Fucking Benihana! You'd think that would come up at some point. Also, apparently he's also related to Devin Aoki, the actress.
Huh.
You know that? I didn't.
Yeah. I remember. Oh yeah, you were in Too Fast, Too Furious in that Dead Alive movie saw once and just forgot.
I never saw it because fuck Dead or Alive. Fucking overrated piece of shit fighting game franchise. But, you know, to you lucky Los Angeles people who want your pizza with a side of obnoxious EDM that ruins some of the greatest anime title themes of all time, there you go.
I still remember. I'm sure everybody else does, too.
I unfortunately do. But anyway, let's move on from, you know, pizza to pickles and sauce. Yes, and by pickles and sauce, we mean Mr. Richard and Mortimer, or Rick and Morty for short, perhaps. Yes, it appears that Adult Swim is teaming up with Sub Pop Records to release a Rick and Morty soundtrack coming out September 28th, and of course it's going to be coming out on all sorts of favorite formats like vinyl, digital, CD, and cassette. Now, the soundtrack will not only include tracks by show composer Ryan Elder, but will also include tracks featured on the show from acts like Mazzy Star, Belly, and Blonde Redhead, and even new contributions from Chad Van Galen and Clipping.
Oh, sadly, oh, shit.
That Logic rap is not going to be on here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, you know, you look at the track list here. Of course, you have the Rick and Morty theme song, Jerry's Rick, the Small Intestine song, African Dream Pop, The Rick Dance, Goodbye Moon Men, Unity Say Goodbye, Get Swifty, Raised Up Posterior, Let Me Out, This Is Not a Dance, I'm Begging for Help, I'm Screaming for Help, This Is Not a Dance. And, of course, human music as well. That's actually the closing track here on the album.
But you can't leave out the best song on here that goes, grab my Terry Fold, grab my Foldy Flaps.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that was a thing.
It charted in Britain, I believe.
Then again, Britain will chart anything. Hell, they managed to get American Idiot to chart. At the most opportune time possible.
Yes, this will be a fine soundtrack addition for all of us to enjoy after we've spent some time away from what I will succinctly call the shame period.
Szechuan sauce.
I still feel shame. We let the memes get to our head.
It was just an alright sauce.
Is there a reason why there's not that Logic track here?
I don't know. I don't know where company shit. Fuck if I know.
Because we need Logic rapping about, like, whatever the hell he was talking about, like trains or some shit.
I don't know the end of it. I usually hear that Clipping song. It's titled Stab Him in the Throat. I'm curious to hear that.
Maybe it'll be a very dense, lyrically layered song about the Pickle Rick thing. It could happen. But anyway, moving on from that. So, we haven't mentioned it, but there's been a lot of, you know, slow but building developments in the still ongoing aftermath of the Fyre Festival, including the fact that founder Billy McFarland has had to pay, I believe, $40 million back to his various investors, and the fact that a couple of lawsuits actually won in favor of, you know, the festival goers, and he had to pay back $5 million total to them as well. But we're only bringing this up because apparently in the interim, there's been another sort of fraud music festival that just got exposed, although thankfully, or not, depending on your perspective, it didn't actually go on, so there wasn't any sort of hilarious Schadenfreude fallout. But we're going to let Alex talk here, because he had some things he wanted to say here. So you have the floor.
Yeah. Before I do that, though, I just want to mention Billy McFarland had his bail revoked recently.
Yes! I knew I was forgetting some good news.
Yeah. No bail for him. So, yeah, the EXO Music Festival. A festival that was supposed to have had over 100 artists performing across 7 stages right in what is sure to be known as the heart of the Bay Area, the Contra Costa County Fairgrounds of Antioch, California, a city where I grew up as a young lad. Oh, also worth noting, this was supposed to have an indoor skating rink, a, quote, interactive bounce arena, and foam pits. That's about as close to a representation of DashCon as we'll ever get from one of these sham festivals. Now, a festival supposedly having a billing of, say, Flavor Flav, Ludacris, T.I., Bone Thugs and Harmony, the Sugar Hill Gang, Biz Markie, and a whole lot of names that you would never recognize at the bottom.
Don't forget that Vanilla Ice.
And DJ Qbert.
Oh, yeah, shit. How am I just now noticing this lineup? Dude.
Yeah, that would be weird enough. But where this was being held makes it that much weirder, because the Contra Costa County Fairgrounds in Antioch, California, not that big of a venue. And I guarantee you, it is not big enough to hold 7 stages. Because, seriously, you have a good little bit of land for the fair and a shady-ass trailer park. That's what you have to work with. So, right off the bat, yeah, this probably won't work, because for a festival with supposedly this much talent and this many stages, you need, like, Nuremberg, Germany, for Rock Am Ring. And considering that Antioch is a relatively small city compared to, you know, San Francisco or Oakland, it's a city that has, yeah, just about 100,000 people. It's not that big. It's actually a fairly small little city. So, yeah, you put all that together, and wouldn't you know it, it probably isn't going to work out, because leading up to this, several artists reportedly dropped out of the lineup due to not getting paid and the fairgrounds being pretty empty. Which, again, small fairgrounds, so it shouldn't have been that empty, right? But nope. More red flags on here. Now, a statement was issued by the Contra Costa Event Park that pretty much canceled the festival due to, quote, the promoter's lack of fulfilling contractual obligations. A member of Country Music Management, who booked one of the artists to play at the festival, told this to Rolling Stone, quote, things didn't add up. It was fraud from the start. I'm a retired cop, and I try to do a bit of background heel before booking Madison, and it's been nonstop red flags. Oh, and they also had to change their name from the XOXO Festival to the XO Music Festival because infringement.
Of course.
Then we get to the
just because I know another something named EXO, sort of like, I don't know, some sort of tour, which, yeah, oh yeah, also EXO is a company owned by The Weeknd. Another one, but yeah, it's just confusing.
Probably would have gotten sued by a Lil Uzi Vert as well, because, you know, EXO toured life. But it gets weirder when you go deeper into it. The promoter of this festival, Mr. Sami Habib, was actually arrested for real estate scam back in February in California. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of these artists were not paid, which that's a big no-no. And an artist vendor told an outlet in California that the organizers claimed that vendors made $12,000 from booths last year at their festival, but there was no festival in 2017.
Oh.
And in the build-up to this, months prior, the organizers decided, a lot of people are starting to catch on to this. What should we do? I know. Let's call them fake. Let's call them liars. Because that works so well for, Mr. Fuckface Von Clown Shoes and his band of cronies. And on their Instagram page, Boy, oh boy, this is some bad grammar. Quote, "Hello, everyone. Regardless of all the fake media, we are still planning our festival. The media is trying to cause issues for us for no apparent reason. We have worked too hard." That's spelled T-O, hard. "Stay tuned."
Oh.
"Thank you." Okay. No period.
Yes, first off, I just need to point out, regardless of all the fake media, period, we are still planning our festival.
Are we sure this wasn't written by a Russian bot?
It could have been. Or maybe whoever proofread the NES Ghostbusters.
So, in all, on their official website this past Wednesday, July 11th, they announced, well, I'll just read it verbatim. "We are deeply disappointed to have to announce that due to the venue canceling the Exa Music Festival earlier today, and in part due to the fact that there were some negative media reports targeting us, with which we strongly disagree. The Exa Music Festival, scheduled to occur on July 13th through 15th, will be postponed to another time to be announced at a future date." Yeah, I don't think these people are getting their money back. And that's a bad thing, because tickets for this range from $375 to $2,500.
Wait. So,
for a festival in a shady-ass trailer park.
For that, yeah. You'll pay that much grip.
Yeah. Now, a statement was made saying that they will be handling refund requests, but I wouldn't cross my fingers on this. So, the lesson here is, if you want to try and pull off a sham music festival to get your money and, you know, give nothing back, don't. We have seen twice that this will not work. You will get caught, and you will most likely face federal charges for, you know, defrauding people. And for, you know, being scum.
Just remember, the type of person who can afford to shell out money like this for festival tickets is also the type of person that probably has the resources necessary to sue your ass. And we're not talking about, like, Saul Goodman type lawyers. We're talking about the real shit.
Yeah, like Michael Avenatti. Only without the giant ego.
That too. Anyway, so, you know, moving on from that to our last topic this week. Of course, you know, television awards season is, you know, kicking up with the announcements of the 70th annual Primetime Emmy Awards nominees. By the way, for the record, Atlanta sweeped quite a lot of categories. Twin Peaks only got two. Yeah! Fuck you.
Oh.
You fucking disrespect David Lynch, you goddamn plebeians. But anyway, so of course there's the main, you know, prestige categories, but to find these I had to look under you know, on the Wikipedias, under the Creative Arts Emmys, which is where they award all the technical categories, so we could talk about all the music stuff here. So let's actually talk about these. There's six music categories here. So of course, just gonna go through them one by one here. Outstanding music composition for a series, original dramatic score. The nominees are Ramin Djawadi for The Dragon and the Wolf episode of Game of Thrones, Sean Callery for the AKA Playland episode of the Netflix Jessica Jones series, Mark Isham, Cindy O'Connor, and Michael Simon for the Leaving Storybrooke episode of Once Upon a Time. Wait, that show's still on? I thought they canceled that like 3 years ago.
I actually believe it ended. Yeah, it ended last May.
Huh.
It lasted 7
seasons. How come I didn't
hear
anyone making a big deal of that on social media then? I guess someone gave a shit.
It was moved to a death slot, that's why.
Yeah, that sounds about right. W.G. Snuffy Walden and A. Patrick Rose for the Pattern of Life episode of SEAL Team. Kevin Kiner, for the Family Reunion and Farewell episode of Star Wars Rebels. And another Ramin Djawadi nomination for the Akane no Mai episode of Westworld. That show that I still haven't watched, but why does it have an episode title that sounds like weeb speak?
Seconded.
Yeah. Anyway, next category here, Outstanding Music Direction. The nominees are Bruno Mars, 24 Karat Magic Live at the Apollo, Elton John, I'm Still Standing, A Grammy Salute, the Oscars, if you say so, which, isn't this kind of like, you know, award show cannibalization, I feel like? Tony Bennett, the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song, and nothing else. Because I swear to God, if y'all are going to make me read this out loud, like, it deserves a nomination for anything other than maybe a Razzie. Super Bowl 52 halftime show starring Justin Timberlake. That embarrassing nothing of a show.
God.
Really, yeah, no budget, I don't piece of crap.
Anybody cared about that. Which, at least Lady Gaga's halftime show from the year before was nominated for 6 categories, which we're glad, but it only won for a lighting design award and not, for music.
Obviously. Now let's go to Outstanding Original Main Title Theme Music. The nominees are Carlos Rafael Rivera for Netflix's Godless, Michael Dana for Amazon's The Last Tycoon, John Paisano for Marvel's The Defenders, Jeff Beal for the Putin interviews on Showtime, Mike S. Olsen, Bridget Ellen Kearney, Michael Calabrese, and Rachel Price for Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix, and Chris Bacon for The Tick on Amazon. Bacon. Yeah, I gotta watch some of this Netflix Amazon shit. I'm behind. And I actually do have Amazon Prime. Although maybe not now, because, you know, there's the strikes going on, because Jeff Bezos is an asshole.
Yep, but not as big an asshole as Elon Musk, and yes, there is a difference.
Ah, the elongated muskrat. Imagine existing as that guy. Why would anyone want to be that guy?
Imagine being Grimes.
Ew.
Good luck.
Now for Outstanding Music Composition for a Limited Series, Movie, or Special. Michael Dana and Jeff Dana for Alias Grace, episode part 1 on Netflix. Daniel Pemberton for the USS Callister episode of Black Mirror. You know, that show that only... The Netflix equivalent of... To be fair, you have to have a really high IQ in order to understand Rick and Morty. I'm assuming. I haven't actually watched Black Mirror.
I watched some of it.
It's pretty much the embodiment of technology will be the second coming.
Well, I hope so, because I like that song. two nominees from the Amazon series Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams, one from Harry Gregson-Williams for the episode The Commuter, and Cristobal Tapia de Vir for the episode Crazy Diamond. I'm guessing that's not a JoJo thing. Anyway, next nominee, Carlos Rafael Rivera for the Homecoming episode of Godless on Netflix, and Cyril Offwart for March of the Penguins to the Next... They made a March of the Penguins sequel? Why?
Apparently they did, and I don't know why either.
What it in was, the shit?
It was released. Guess what, it was first released in France by Disney Nature in 2017, and came to Hulu a year later.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, then of course the category for Outstanding Original Music and Lyrics. There's the song Totally Gay from Netflix's Big Mouth. No, I still haven't watched it. In the Market for a Miracle from Fox's production of A Christmas Story Live.
Which was bullshit. It was bullshit, and you all know it.
Well, I mean, of course. I mean, I didn't watch it, but even I can tell you that. The song High Crimes and Misdemeanors from episode Day 450 of The Good Fight. The song Just Getting Started from If You're Not in the Obit, Eat Breakfast. Obit. Oh, like obituary. The song yeah. Come Back Barack from the Saturday Night Live episode hosted by Chance the Rapper. And the Buddy song from the Steve Martin and Martin Short special, An Evening You Will Forget for the Rest of Your Life. Interesting. And then for Outstanding Music Supervision, one of the many nominations for Atlanta, specifically for Jen Malone and Pham Udeorji from the episode Alligator Man, which was the season premiere. And for the record, I'm pretty sure this is the episode that used the song Hothead by wait for it, Death Grips.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say it because when I looked at it, I was like, Okay, that's a Death Grips song. I think I love this.
That means you gotta listen to Bottomless Pit, you bastard. Sorry, you're not a bastard. You're very good people. But yeah, Death Grips. Anyway, for a nomination from Robin Erdong, Daniel Palladino, and Amy Sherman Palladino for The Marvelous Ms. Maisel, the pilot episode on Amazon. Nora Felder for the Stranger Things episode Trick or Treat Freak, Jennifer Pikin for the That'll Be the Day episode of This Is Us, and Sean Omiara for the Akane no Mai episode of Westworld. Man, I need to watch more television.
This is not all that assuring, honestly. I mean, the Emmys aren't always, you know, the top tier award show. I mean, nobody gets as drunk during the Emmys as they do during the Golden Globes.
That is true. That is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure we're all looking forward to when Donald Glover takes home all his awards and then promotes some random-ass trap rapper who eventually goes on to create a viral trend sometime later in the year. Or guest stars in season 3 of Atlanta, whichever comes first. I hope it's Death Grips.
Yeah, maybe he'll go up on stage and talk about how Migos is perfection or something. I don't know.
But he already said Migos. He doesn't want to repeat himself. He's got to say it again. He's got to say something different, man.
Who knows what happened?
Yeah, anyway, that's about it for that. So now we have one last bit of business to take care of here, and that's the new album releases for the week of July 20th, 2018. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Skeleton Witch with Devouring Radiance Light, the new self-titled album from death metalers Jungle Rot, the new album from Darren Malakian and Scars on Broadway with Dictator, a new project from the internet with Hive Mind, and also apparently a new album from Rick Astley called Beautiful Life. Huh. And don't worry, I'm not going to put a Rickroll here. I wouldn't do that to you. I'm not that unoriginal. And one thing I forgot to mention here, although I probably should have pulled up the album title here, apparently there's a new full-length album coming from 80 Rising, you know, the Asian hip-hop label that features artists like Keith Ape, Joji, Rich Brian, and all that. Apparently they got some collective thing, you know, in the pipeline for this week. I didn't jot down the name, though. So, you know, just look that up. You'll know when you see it. So, yeah, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, I am on the internet as the name or of Azure, where this week I will be trying to decipher the beef between Serge Tankian and Darren Malakian. Or, you know, I'll just be dicking around like I always do. Haven't really decided yet.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter via MetaHyper Media and on my site, the mind HyperOne at HyperOne.wordpress.com. So yeah, I just got through doing my time of season shit because of all news just wrapped up. Oh wait, that's right, we got one more coming up on 22nd. You know what it is.
The Titans are coming.
Then you can go dance up Pony Canyon or IG or whoever the fuck is in the political committee.
I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. You know, email me, Robert@SurrealResolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and memes. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. Audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution, which, you know, just search YouTube, subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified when new episodes go up there. Follow us on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook. Follow us, you know, online at surrealresolution.com. And find this podcast on decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. Be sure to listen to Podcast O&A as well. You'll have time to catch up because apparently they're on a bit of a seasonal break, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back in about 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Anyway, be sure to keep up with all our written content as well. You know, go back and read my Fully Coolly Progressive reviews, which are Jason DeMarco approved. And I promise I'll sometime this week get a review of the new Obscura album, Diluvium. Hopefully. I'm working on that. Anything else? No, that's basically about it. Shout out to producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. And links to his shit down in the description. Anyway, yeah, thank you for joining us this week for episode 89. We'll, of course, be back next week. And until next time, remember, all religions should have one rule. Hats optional. Oh,